Good morning. Thank you, the leadership of Feathers Park Baptist Church, for this invitation to be here. I want to acknowledge the assistance and input given by Brian and Sister Cindy with the Family Commission. I succeeded in dragging them into that Family Commission. And it's a tremendous team that we have. I'm very thankful to God for the journey that we have been taking in the last year plus and putting certain things in place. The program that you are running, I guess, is part of the National Family Season Initiative. This year we started a soft launch. You heard I'm from Sarawak. I voted. Just to let you know that in case you don't know very much about what is going on in the Christian community of Sarawak, in the last 4 or 5 years, we have kind of moving and beginning to awaken to a number of issues. Why it took so long, I don't have the answer, okay? But we have been dealing with different things. But we are mindful of the importance not to just look at one area, the governance or the politics arena or sphere of the community. We have been very mindful of other spheres as well. So we work pretty hard in the area of education in the recent years. In the area of the business, we just about to pick up in this area called Business for Transformation. Of course, the church has been going on for all those years. The other areas we're still learning. So therefore, politics is not the arena that we are working on, trying to learn and see how the church could play a part, a Christian can play a part in that particular area of the state. But the area of focus right now is basically on the church and education and the business transformation affecting the economic well-being of the native churches, the interior churches of Sarawak. So if you can help in those areas, welcome. Kuching is pretty good, by the way. I don't think I should say better than Penang, but we have Sarawak Lhasa that you don't have. So Kolomit you don't have. The rest you have, I think. Yes, it is my privilege to be here to celebrate this UN International Day of the Families, and also especially Pentecost Sunday. We start a church, that's where, can you imagine, look at each other, this is the heritage of that particular day. And what a privilege. This morning I was praying and just brought to this thought, it's the same thing. What a day. What a day the church was birthed, and out those thousands of years, 2,000 years ago, now where we are, a dominant faith group in globally, millions and millions of people have gone to heaven. I think near 2 billion Christians right now, just because of that particular day, the Holy Spirit came, and from one generation, faith was passed on to the next generation, from one person to the next generation, somehow came to this place. And you and I are here as a result of that tremendous heritage. And we thank God for that. I'm so glad I can be here this morning for this particular purpose.
No commercials, it's free, and if you have economic problems, it can help you out.
A social network where you can watch films whenever you want.
Where you can share your photographs with total confidentiality.
A network that assures you that all of your text messages will be read.
Where you may play in real time with the people that you care for the most.
Where you may learn and share the best recipes.
And find the cheapest way to travel.
A network that will provide the best references for you to find a job.
Where all the users can share their knowledge for free.
In this social network, nobody is ever logged off.
And your followers will pray for you when you need it.
A social network that is accessible to everyone, where the server never fails.
And where you will never feel alone.
A social network that is used by more than 7 billion people.
A social network that is older than both you and me.
This social network is the best social network in the world.
Because it is much more than just a social network.
This social network is the family.
This social network is your family.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you find that I'm speaking a bit funny, it's because of my family. I was born in a Fuchao family. I speak like Fuchao. How many of you are Fuchao here? None? Oh, you are. Okay. You speak the way you are because of the language that you pick up in the growing up years. Family is indeed very powerful. If I ask you this basic question, why family matters? I'm sure that you'll give me all kinds of answers, very much from your own perspective, your own experiences, trying to reason why family is important. You see, the issue here is not whether the family is important or not. If I ask you individually, you say, oh yeah, family is very important. If I ask the church leadership, all they will say, it is very important. You see, the question is not whether the family is important. The question is the family that important? Because the importance we attach to the family factor determines how we live in the home that we come from. Now, we talk about this in particular, our individual homes. If I ask you, is your family that important? The one way to find it out is to look at your schedule. Look at your plan for the next 6 months. Where does the family feature in that schedule? That will give the answer straight on this very question. How important is family to you? If I compare all this together, sitting down to divide into two or three groups, you have different degrees of that importance attached to your own family. If I ask the church leadership how important is the family, the issue again is the family that important? We have been a pastor for all these years. We have many things to do. We want to really be a blessing to the people that God gives to our lives to be responsible for. We look out for new things. We want to really to allow God to bless the people in all seasons of life. So we look for different things. People to preach, great people to worship God like this morning, to lead, different resources for cell group, prayer meetings, and so on. But you look at the calendar of each church, each year annual calendar, this question of how important is the family, is that important to what level, can be easily be gauged from looking at the activities or programs of the church. So therefore this morning, I want to spend a few moments to address this whole thought of how important is the family to you individually, how important is the family to the church or the families in this church, really, to you and I, collectively as a community of believers. Let us pray. Father, this morning we know that you are here with us. It is through gathering like this. And you say in your word, in Hebrews 10:25, do not forsake of the gathering of the people together so that we can continue to endure as we face challenges of life, so that we can continue to walk on the path that you seek for us as we walk towards heaven. Father, we love you, we praise you, ask to anoint our hearts. As we hear your word being declared and your thoughts being shared, may our hearts continue to be anointed by you. We just commit this time to you, the day of the Pentecost, the day of the coming of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Holy Spirit, Lord Holy Spirit, be our counselor, be our guide, be our teacher this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How important is the family to you? as individuals, how important is the family to us as a church? Let's go back to God's design, because if I ask you that question, different ones will give different answers. You ask me, who am I right now? Yes, Rose and I have been involved in family ministry, even we were pastoring. We're already involved in that. I can only describe, I'm not the forest activist. We are not the pacha activist. Although I'm involved in that, I'm not in other activism, but I'm a family activist. I'm trying to carry some thoughts across to different churches, perhaps for us to ponder about this whole factor called the family. As I look at church history in the last 200 years, as I travel around different parts of the world in recent years, as we consulted with church leaders from different denominations, involved in the World Evangelical Alliance, leadership in different regions, hearing the stories, hearing the struggles of the churches and leaders in their own families. I think that one thing that is really lacking, I do not know whether you heard about a theologian from the Southern Baptist Convention by the name of Albert Mohler. You're familiar with Dr. Albert Mohler? Wrote excellent pieces, speaks excellently, doctrinally, in the area of doctrines and so on. He wrote an article, really. He said the crisis of family issues in the States, similarly in other parts of the world, is primarily a theological crisis. The lack of understanding, or rather the appreciation of God's purposes for us as believers. This morning we're sitting here, we are not non-believers, we are believers of Christ. We want to live the fullness of the life that God gives to us. But yet, I think that there is a tremendous room for us to learn a bit more, to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us a bit more, this particular area of life that we usually don't talk much, even in a church setting. So therefore, we want to go back to this scripture. What God is speaking in this? Let's go back to the very beginning. Perhaps we can turn to that. I'm going to read together with you on this. I still prefer the hard copy, by the way. I'm a guy who, at this age, I find it a bit hard to transition to the handphone. This is good, something I can hold. Genesis 1:27-28, this is the beginning of creation. This is the creation of mankind. This is also a time of creation of the family. Eve came into the picture. Let's read Genesis chapter 1, verses 27-28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Sometimes we just focus on male and female and miss out certain things in here. Creation of the family. We counsel countless couples over the years, and especially those about to get married. It's always a mystery. How could two persons from different backgrounds, so deeply in love, oblivious to all the things that the preacher or the pastor tried to counsel them for before marriage, and yet they embark on a journey that is really unknown. They thought they knew. You know, those of us been married long enough know that after 38 years married to my wife, Rose, I still do not understand her that much. Neither she could. Still a lot to learn. But it's a mystery how God has brought together to form a family. Two different backgrounds, and we endure and we fight, we persist on that journey. You see, we need to go back to scripture. This morning, our brother mentioned this. People always ask this question. Talk about family. When we talk about family, oh, marriage and parenting and feelings and love and failings and this and so on. Focusing on this is It's part of the focus. But sometimes we miss out the significant picture beyond that. And when we miss that perspective, we miss a big part of Christian life. And this morning, hopefully, we can take this journey together in the next few moments to perhaps, before you leave here, gather some thoughts, maybe over lunch, over dinner, in the next few days, begin to think through as your leadership wrestles with this whole issue of should the church begin to embark on this journey of reallocating or give more resources in the area of helping families to grow in different aspects of life. Abraham was called by God out of Ur of Chaldean in Genesis 12. And through him was promised to him, it is called Abrahamic Covenant, through him a great nation will come forth. There was an excellent call. Of course, he went to the place unknown by faith. But in Genesis 18, God spoke about something to do with this covenant. The blessings that will go to Abraham and his family and his people in the days to come. And this is very clear. This is the beginning of God creating his nation, his people. People who will carry his heart for the world, who actually close their tremendous relationship with him. And in this particular verse, Genesis 18:19, it spells out the very beginning for you and I as Christians and God's people, the tremendous role that is played or given by God to play in our lives, individually, as well in the church. God says, "For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." Meaning that the promises, the blessing that will go with the covenant to Abraham and his future generations will not be given to them automatically. Something must happen in the household of Abraham, in the household of God's people. So the home has been designated as a place of passing the faith from one generation to the next. It was never automatic. You and I know that by now that children born in our own home do not become Christians, followers of Christ, automatically. Something must happen in the lives of those children. If that things does not happen, the faith passing part is not happening, discipleship is taking place, that generation of children will not follow God. It's not automatic. We know that. This is another place in the history of God's kingdom. So obviously, the place of the family, your family, my family, people who love God, who want to do or live out the fullness of the life that God gives to us. This nation, at that point in time, the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, at that point, give you a quick background, at that part of the history of the nation of Israel, they were excited. I can tell you, if you could hear the excitement in the camp, you know that they were about to go into the promised land after generations of hearing of the land flowing with milk and honey. Such excitement in the eastern side of Jordan River. And therefore, God gathered his people together on the plain, ready to go in and occupy it. Fight the giants, but definitely will win and occupy the land. It was such an exciting moment of the history in that nation. God gathered people together, eastern side of Jordan River, on the plain of Moab. Moses, as a leader, spoke to them in three speeches. In the second speech, while he was addressing the nation, "Hey, this church, Fetters Park Baptist Church, we are about to go in. We're going to have a great time. All those things been promised, we're going to enjoy that, okay?" People are excited. He said, "Okay, now, it's not automatic. You don't simply go in and simply leave. There are certain rules and statutes and commandments we need to follow through in order to keep our hearts close to God." He was addressing the whole church, whole nation. In the midst of this addressing, Why talking about as a community of believers? Like this morning, we're coming on time, we worship God, hearing the Word of God, study the Word of God, live out the truth, help each other as we struggle through, corporately. But in the midst of all this, God turned His people to one part of the church which had to, something has to take place in that part, the failure of which will affect the destiny of the whole community. And there's a home. Let's turn to that quickly. The book, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Now I'm going to run. I got 4 points actually, but if we don't have time, we will not go that far. But I just want to carry a few thoughts for us to ponder about even after the sermon. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. This is what the Lord spoke through Moses to His people. This is what we call the Shema. Shema is a Jewish prayer. This is a very rich prayer. The prayer is still praying twice a day, carrying virtually the fifth verse is actually encapsulates or summarizes the whole scripture, whole Bible relationship with God. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Meaning that this is what the Lord designed for every one of us sitting here, including the children under us who do not know. God wants that those who are born into our homes would have carried the same heart to love the Lord. Look at verse 6. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames, on your houses and on your gates. This is no longer talking about, my dear brothers and sisters, no longer talking about a church, no longer about a nation, how we should conduct ourselves as a community, white people. But individually, meaning that if we go to the promised land, and we all conduct ourselves according to the Ten Commandments, the statutes and decrees, and we do not function as this in the homes, we can't make it in the promised land. This is basically, look at the passage in context. This actually tells us so clearly, Abraham times through all the history and up to that point in time, a very faithful moment of the nation of Israel, the family factor was a critical factor, meaning that you fail in that factor, you fail in the life, in the promised land. We look at our nation. The shape of our nation today, we are not happy about, right? Do you know this nation has been shaped 20 or 30 years ago? The shape of this nation today was already shaped 20 or 30 years ago when those people in authority right now, could be 60 years ago, could be 50 years ago, already been shaped. Our neighboring nations do not encounter certain things because they are different. Their hearts have been different. Of course, we have a lot of factors. We cannot simply narrow down to one or two things. Meaning that God telling the people, you're going to go to the promised land. This is going to be a conquest. It's not going to be easy, right? It's going to be many years. It's not just go in and march in and the next few days we'll take the whole land. No, we know that by the time Joshua say, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord in Joshua 24:15. It was already 20 plus years. He was, even at that time, not the whole land was conquered. But it was a long conquest, meaning that if you don't shape the hearts of the children, they can't make it during that time. You say, oh, this is the Old Testament thing. This is not. How about New Testament? St. Paul in the book, Ephesians. Now, this is a very powerful book. This book was addressed not to individuals. This book is addressed to church. How we should live. The first three chapters is basically the gospel of Jesus Christ. How you and I are blessed because of who we are as Christians. Coming out from the darkness to light. You and I are one with Christ. You and I are empowered by God to live good life. First three chapters. But the last three chapters, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, is how you and I should live in the church. Now it begins, St. Paul begins with chapter 4, verse 1, talks about how you and I should live a life worthy of our calling. Every one of us has a calling as Christians. And addressing the whole church, the same thing like Moses. St. Paul addresses in that letter beginning with chapter 5, verse 21, and onwards to, really to chapter 6, verse 9, in those times we had slaves and masters, virtually talk about household. Meaning that if you look at it in context again, virtue St. Paul say, hey, this is how we should live. This is how we should live. As a church, we should exercise our gifts. You know, like Ephesians 4:16 says, each part does its work based on the grace given to each one of us. We should get together like this morning, like other occasions as a church, to be able to function so that this church, his church, will continue to grow in faith toward this journey. But living as a church, as a corporate body, coming together, living as one, following the disciplines of life in the Christian church, is not enough. Paul says, basically saying this, we still need to be mindful how we live at home. And he spells out marriage, spells out parenting, and different issues which we'll talk in a short while. What happens at home affects the church. Is that correct? Is that correct? Yeah. I can tell you this morning, the condition of our hearts actually affected by how we have lived in the homes. This morning, the worship was wonderful. But if the heart of yours had been disturbed by what has happened in the home this morning, no matter how anointed was the worship, you find it difficult to enter into that worship because of the tremendous struggles. If this morning, if last few days, I have a tremendous time with Rose, or I have a big fight, I can tell you, I can still preach a sermon. But you don't know what I impart because of the turmoil I'm going through. Is that real? That is real. The home, what the homes, your homes, your relationships, how you deal in the homes, how the presence of God in your home, the nature of that will affect what you carry into the church as you come together, the little bit of Christ, as ecclesia, the parts of Christ coming together, form the body and worship God. Likewise, what happens in the church affects your home too. Importance of the home. The first point I want to bring forth is family factor is a critical piece of God's plan for building His kingdom. Has always been and will always be. So we cannot ignore that. You know, I do not know your church that well. I'm very sure you had discipleship program. If I, let's say, Rose and I bring the two kids coming to your church and I sort of receive Christ this Sunday, what would you do with me next few weeks? What would you do? First thing, what would you do with me? Introduce me to cell group. In a cell group, I would begin to discover people. Oh, these Christians are different from the ones I know of. They learn. This is how I grew. I think corporately, over the years, we have done tremendous work in the area. I've been pastor all these years. When I first started, okay, see how old you are. This is, I'm going to ask you this question. How many of you know what is stencil? Oh, you are my friend. Stencil. Some of you know, huh? What is that? What kind of animal is that? No, it's not animal. It's that kind of... How many of us know transparency? A bit more, right? How many of you don't know what is transparency? Too shy to put out your hands. You don't know, some of the younger group don't know what is transparency. I came through a stencil and transparency. I think the church has done so well. Look at this church. Comfortable. LCD projector. Can play video. Last time, you heard about the video. Video is barcode. It's barcode system. It's 3 tons in weight. That kind of thing. 3 projectors. We have done a lot. I think the preaching of the word is a lot more refined because you can gain access to different things. You tend to be able to be study a lot. I think preparation of the preaching of the word is a lot more refined, more skillful. Worship definitely is better. We have all kinds of aids and so on, training and so on. I think the corporate church has done so well compared to 20 years ago, by the way. We've done so well. We put all these things in place. We say, oh, in order to grow a strong church, we need to talk about all these things. This is very good. But do you know that we go to seasons of life? I look around, some of you are in teens. Some of you may be going to university coming out. Some of you, you know, single adults looking for mates, want to start families. Some of us young family with young children. Some of us in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and so on. We go to seasons of life, correct? And every season had its unique challenges. Is that correct? Huh? How many of you are just 60 and above? It's okay. 60 and above. 60 years old and above. You see? I just let you know, you're 60, right? Over 60, brother. I'm just letting you know the same thing, like, this is my first time 61 years old. I've never been 61 years before. It's the first time. Is it correct for you, 60 plus, first time? So new stuff. I never knew how to live 60. Rose never married, ever married to a 61-year-old man before. Never. So we need to be disciple. Don't you think so? No, I never raised a teenager before Nick turned 12 or 11. First time. And it was different when he was 3. Very different. Someone needs to teach me how to disciple a child for Christ at that age. Correct? If you don't teach me, I don't have a clue. So I live according to what I know from my friends, from my internet, Google, and from whoever. We don't talk about it. Now this morning, remember, I'm an activist. I think we should talk about it. There's some privacy. If we don't talk about it, I just let you know, someone will talk about it. Internet will talk to you. Someone will tell you all kinds of things. And some of those things might not be godly. Another issue is this. We have this tremendous issue. Because we don't know what is happening in the home, we don't talk about this. So we get the leaders coming in. People who serve in the church, we don't know what is happening in those homes. What we ask them to serve could be the last straw on the camel's back to break the relationship in the home. We don't know. I brought all these leaders in. You know how we choose leaders? How I chose leaders? Okay, he looks decent. After a few months, he doesn't have bruises on his face. Marriage must be pretty good. They do hold hands once in a while. Never seen them kiss before, but okay. They produce children. Must be quite good. And they're faithful. I heard he tithes. So we sort of talk, hey, are you available? Yeah, okay. But we don't talk about this. I think we need to talk about this because we need to know that even 1 Timothy, Paul says, chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, talking about the connection between how you and I deal with our home life and minister in the church. Is that correct? Because there's a direct relationship. I can tell you that I've been trained in Bible school. I can preach a sermon, 3-point sermon, nicely, but inside I had turmoil. But you know what you miss? It's the impartation that you missed. Yeah. Maybe just for this part. We have discipleship structure. I'm not criticizing, by the way. I'm saying this. Remember, I'm an activist. I say this to everywhere I go at this moment. You don't have to take this down. If you want a PowerPoint, I give you everything, including videos, by the way. Complete discipleship structure, we want to build it up. By the way, the church discipleship structure is partial. We miss a bit. Unless you have a certain discipleship, home living discipleship program in place, there is a missing part of that. This is my point. We say we go and make disciples of all nations. We make disciples help you to grow in Christ. You know what is disciples? Disciples is not just salvation, by the way. Disciple meaning that we follow Christ, growing over the period of time, try to follow as close as possible. As we stumble, we pick ourselves up again, or the church pick together with me, pick myself up, and I walk as much as I could. You don't come to church for 3 weeks, someone will call you up. Hey, everything okay? You're doing good? No, my boss just sacked me 3-4 weeks ago. I'm very mad with him. And I lost my job, my family. So the church will come alongside me and say, Matthew, let's pray about this. So you sort of help me out to continue to follow God in spite of my circumstances. Now, I think that is disciple making. You know what is disciple making? Teaching them to obey. Teaching them to follow the ways of the Lord. Now I'm going to ask you a hard question. If you don't know how Matthew Ling struggles through being a 61-year-old husband, and I live according to, my father lived that way, must be quite okay. He's 62. He sort of go out with friends, drink coffee most of the time. He is okay. I should follow him. Do you know there's a calling upon our life till last breath? If I don't know, how do I follow? Very practical question, right? If I don't know how to live as I go through crisis or all through adjustments, how do I obey? So I'm a disciple in a church, but I might not be growing as a disciple in the home. So therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, I think the church should consider home discipleship. Disciple how to we live in a home in the area of marriage, parenting, singlehood, human sexuality, missional. I think home discipleship is a key component of the overall discipleship structure of God and His church. I think that if we do not deal with the discipleship of those areas in the home, we cannot complete the Great Commission of God. You know, Great Commission is not just going out and save people, but saving, salvation is the beginning of the journey of fruitfulness with God. Is that correct? So if you don't deal, I can be very fruitful in the church, but if I mess out the home, I miss out the blessings of God and dealing with the judgment of God, of that part I miss, I goof at home. We need to begin, brothers and sisters, to think through as we look at the discipleship structure of the church in this particular area of the church. I'm going to end with this point. I'm going to end not the last point, but let's end with this point. Now, this is where I come from. We've got a video coming up, by the way, just 1 or 2 minutes only. Sometime because of our culture, because of culture in the church, culture in where you grew up, Asian culture, we don't talk much about home. We always say, in how many of us Chinese speaking here? Okay, understand. 家丑不可以外传. Don't clean the dirty linen in the public. We keep it to ourselves. That is partially true. We better wrestle with this. As Christians, we're talking about following Christ. If we live in an ungodly manner in the home, just like me coming here this morning, preach a blasphemous sermon, I can tell you, your leaders will come and tell Matthew, this is wrong. Someone will tell me, Matthew, this is not good, the way you live at home. This is discipleship.
I'll find myself wanting to please the crowd.
I'll find myself wanting to please the crowd.
I'll need you to remind me that I should obey God.
That I should obey God.
I'll act like I don't have any problems.
I'll need you to show me how to share my struggles with others.
I want to have a lot of money so I can buy what I want.
I'll need you to teach me that my things belong to God.
That my things belong to God.
I'll struggle with my looks and appearance.
I'll need you to remind me that God wonderfully made me.
I'll tend to think about myself before others.
I'll need you to teach me that the last will become first.
The last will become first.
The last will become first.
I'll think I'm a lot smarter than I actually am.
I'll think I'm a lot smarter than I actually am.
I'll need you to show me how to learn from God's wisdom.
I'll want to avoid hard conversations.
I'll want to avoid hard conversations.
I'll need you to show me how to speak the truth.
In love.
In love.
I'll look for happiness in many different places.
I'll need you to show me that joy is
found in following Christ.
I'll find myself.
Passing on the faith baton is not a suggestion. Why? Go back to the Deuteronomy passage. It was not a suggestion. Say, hey, by the way, we're going to go to promised land. We're going to do all this, by the way. If you're not free to deal with in the home, it's okay. Moses, was God was speaking to his people, if you don't do it with me, we can't make it. St. Paul will say the same thing, emphasize the same thing. We can't build a strong church, even each part does his work. If that part happened to be the home and it's wounded, the church is weakened. Same thing. Passing on faith to a next generation is not the family task only, but it's the church task coming together as partnership. But it is not a suggestion. It's a biblical mandate. We are called for that. But if we don't, there are other disciples who will disciple them in walking their path. Is that correct? There's so many disciples out there at the moment. Is that correct? Yeah. The school, internet, friends, so many things out there is trying to tell us those are good things. We are telling them, this is the path that God calls you and I. As a Christian father, as a Christian mother, this is the path we take. That is not the path we take. The path will lead to death. This is the path that leads to life. Someone needs to do that. And the scripture spells out very clearly. Parents, you are the primary faith shepherds of your children. The church is needed to come alongside to equip you to function as such. Another part, we heard about this, one generation away. If you go to Korea right now, the Korean church, evangelical churches, you hear one thing. I just came back from March, attended a conference there. Over the years, I've been in and out. One thing they'll hear from the Korean church, you say, what's the number one issue? We don't have the next generation. We don't. They don't. Three huge mega churches come together to produce Sunday school. The mega churches there is talking about 100,000, 50,000 kind of thing. Come together to organize a Sunday school in the area, maybe about 1,000 plus children. I attend, usually relate to a church. It's a small church. Small church means 6,000 to 7,000. Do you know how many youths they have? They have only 100 plus youth. They lost a generation. The generation of the revival means passing on the faith. Not the only factor, but a key factor. Only 6% of evangelical churches have Sunday school in Korea right now. Do you know that? That is based on some statistics coming out from the conferences. I'm going to end with this point. This is the thought. Very often because of our tendency to think that family is my own problem. Marriage is my problem. Parenting is my problem. Sexuality is my problem. Passing on faith is my problem. A lot of things, my home thing is my problem. I wouldn't involve the church because it's a very private thing. I think this theology has been sorted out as we move forward in family ministry. I think we need to wrestle with that. But do you know that not doing helping family, you and I, both singles, young and old, you know, whether you are a father or grandfather or grandmother, why everyone has got calls together in this church should involve in discipling of the home. Why? Sometimes when we read the passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9, we skim over one particular verse and then we concentrate on the next generation. I'm not saying it is not important. It's very important to point out that parents are primary faith shepherds. Without you, they're going to struggle. I'm not saying they will not be saved. I'm not saying they will not live good, fruitful Christian life. They stand a much better chance if our parents invest into this part of their lives. But one particular verse, we miss out sometime, and we miss out as a church. Very, very often when we preach our family ministry thing, the singles were felt left out. I know, we wrestle with this all the time. The young people said, it's nothing to do with me. Let's go back to this particular verse, verse 6 of Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6, talks about this. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Whose hearts? Whose hearts? No, it's not. This verse is to whose hearts? Parents' hearts. Is that correct? Specifically parents' hearts. If you go back to chapter 4, verse 9, address grandparents' hearts. So this one's our parents. Okay. How many of you here, actually, you're parents here? Put out your hands. Wow, many of you are parents. Okay. You know something this church can help you with is to help you to grow to seasons of life, to disciple your children, disciple as you go through things. These are the areas. Strong marriage. If a marriage fails, it's not about my marriage fails. If my marriage fails, because marriage fails, but we want to be a community that minimizes marriage failures. So when my marriage fails, it's not Matthew Link fails. Calvary Family Church affected and they failed too. Why? If I fail in my parenting, it affects the whole church too. If I fail to pass on faith to the next generation, it affects the church body, whether my son will end up in KL or whatever. It affects God's kingdom on earth. You see, and this is a part where God put in place in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. These commandments I give you today must be upon your hearts. Ephesians 6, 4, addressing the words fathers, actually, if you read the whole context, it's talking about fathers and mothers together. You should bring the children up in the training, in the instruction of the Lord. Meaning that they have to. Do you know how, if we really, really going to walk in this journey as a church, what will happen to all of us? Those people who put out their hands, I'm actually have children. They need to be equipped, correct? So when they're equipped or they be disciple, just like you disciple me how to pray and worship and so on, as they live out marriage life and parenting life and sexuality life and so on, according to God's ways, they grow. Obviously they grow. The targets grow. Who else will grow? The ones that church has appointed as equippers of those people, will they grow? You have to raise people, right? Someone need to be trained as marriage side, parenting side, and so on. How to pass on faith. Those people involved will grow. Who are they? Not necessarily married people. If you are single here this morning, you say, no, I can't teach on the area of marriage. No, I can't teach on the area of parenting. I'm single. Just to make you feel better. The denomination in the world that has the strongest family ministry is called Roman Catholic Church. You know who teaches the family commission in Roman Catholic Church? The priests. They insist on them preaching. So of course there are certain areas you don't have experience and so on. But the priests teach about sexuality. Do you know that? From a biblical perspective. Do you know sometimes we forget that this is not about a program? This is talking about discipleship, to teach them to obey, walking the journey, discipleship. Do you know a church that really invests on the long term into discipleship of marriage and parenting and sexuality and passing on faith and ensuring there's headship in the home, strong leadership in the home? A church actually is a growing church. Because the church leadership, the equippers, are equipped to experience themselves the power of God's word, life transformation in the midst of this increasing darkness surrounding us. And thank God Family Sphere in Penang is actually pioneering in this nation to make impacts in the community. Why? We have the word, we have a spirit. But we need a community. The church is always strong comparative to the homes. We can't keep quiet about what's happening in the home. Because our home is not just my home. Because it is my home in God's church. In other words, it's my home, it's God's kingdom. Because every life is being called for God's kingdom. It's not for my home, right? Nick and Doug is never there to serve me until I'm old and they are glorified in their eyes. No, those lives have been given. In the mother's womb, they are already been set apart for godly plans. And our task is to shape them enough to release them, and the church will come together and shape that. So this morning, I want to close on this day. A day that even globally, United Nations declared this as a day of the families. A day of Pentecost when God, allowed that event to take place, Holy Spirit came and to start a church. And that mind, in the mind of God, the families. And families in the church, not communities, but families in the church have always been designated as a critical part of that body. If the families are weakened. And the worst part right now is the weakening, the struggle part of the families that we're in the midst is that we don't even know what is happening. I'm not criticizing for this part, but this church, I'm talking about churches in general. The reality, we don't even know what is happening. That's why we very often hear, I thought they're all okay in my cell group. Suddenly, I heard about this. By the way, usually marriage burns for a long time before it's obvious the big fire is on. The same thing in parental struggle. Is that correct? We don't suddenly break down my marriage. No, it has been there, simmering. The house has been burning all the time. Except now it's a bit more big smoke coming out, fire coming out. You discover that this is something you cannot cover anymore. So for young people, for older people, this morning as a part of the church community, wrestle with this after I leave. Talk about this a bit more. Go back to scripture. I already given Brian, Sister Cindy, all my 10 hours of consultation notes, videos, everything. If you want, I can give you some more. But the question is this. I think the church is positioned in this day and age to provide really, like for this part, you pick up Matthew 5:14. City on the hill. Right? As a light to the community. Start with your own home. Don't let this morning frighten you. Do one thing at a time. One small thing at a time. Learn from, be equipped. Just like learning how to pray over a period of time. But we cannot continue to ignore the family. If you ignore, doesn't mean that it's not happening at all, what's going on. That becomes a better ground for the devil. So many things out there at the moment. This morning, I'm not touching homosexuality. I'm not talking about transgender issue. I'm not talking about pornography. These are prevalent at the moment in Malaysia. We don't see it. The general statistics of, by the time these 2 hours is up, there are 12 divorces in this nation based on 2012 statistics. Are you aware of this? Every 10 minutes, there's one divorce in this nation. And every divorce affects hundreds of people. You know that, huh? By the time you came in and the time you go out, there are thousands of broken people in this nation. You say, oh, Christian rate is not high. Read the statistics, my dear brothers and sisters, in the last few years. Here, you could hear now a lot more than before. Can we gather our thoughts in the next few moments? Both the leadership and the rest of us. To begin to wrestle with this whole issue of the family factor. Can we just leave it? Can we just go home and decide to leave? And will not affect the church? It affects the church. It will continue to affect the church. Until we complete that part of the discipleship of the church. I need discipleship to live at this part of my life. I need my marriage to continue to be enriched and growing. Not saying that I'm 61, so my marriage should be okay, no need to deal with this, because there's no marriage program, a good program for those after 55. Assuming they're all okay. Do you know divorce rate among the retirees is increasing? You're aware of this, huh? Why? A lot of factors. Shall we pray? Let's pray. Maybe spend the next few moments thinking through, perhaps, what has been shared. Maybe there are too many things that you have to handle. Can we ask that next few moments, let's quieten down our hearts and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us about one thing. If you are single this morning, if you are in your teen, what is one thing that God is speaking to you about building a stronger family? Areas in your home that you know that God could do a lot more. Perhaps in your marriage of your parents. But perhaps your parents are not even safe. Is there one or two things you can do in that area? For those of us who are single adults, what would be one thing as you go back home, in the home that you come from, that you perhaps need help in? For those of us who are married, some with younger children, some of children have flown. What if it's one thing you think the Holy Spirit is leading you to start looking into this? I remember the church is there to equip, to come alongside, but you have to be the initiator, because that is your home that God assigns you to. Let's think about one thing, then I'll pray in closing. Father, this morning, we, with your presence, we have heard your word proclaim, your thoughts share. Keep only your thoughts from you in the hearts of your people. We know the Holy Spirit has been speaking and taking all these different, the word and the thoughts, and ministering to different hearts differently. I pray, Lord, you complete what you have started this morning in our lives. I pray for special anointing to fall upon the leadership team as they embark on this aspect. This is the not only area, but a key area to look into in the journey, and this is going to be a long journey. Lord, we ask for your grace, even mercy, to be extended to us as your people, learning, Lord, to obey, to live a life worthy of your calling. I ask, Lord, that you pour forth your Holy Spirit upon this church, to enable the church to move, to begin to grow in this area of the home discipleship. Lord, we also ask for you to build the families. You say in your word in Psalm 27, unless the Lord builds the house, we cannot go far. Our labor will be in vain unless the Lord watches the city, this church, these families. We can't go far. So we surrender all this to you, Father. As the thoughts linger in our hearts, Holy Spirit, continue to move in our hearts even as we leave this place later on. I thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you, Pastor Matthew Ling. Thank you for reminding us the importance of family, not just to us individually and our family, but actually also to the church. The need of us coming together, being willing to be transparent to each other about our struggle, our willingness to share our experiences with each other, and that when a family fails, it is Fed as Park Baptist Church that fails. Thank you for that reminder. Worship team, are you going to come up? Or No need. Okay. So I would like to welcome you to join us for our fellowship there. Maybe you have more questions for Pastor Matthew. And please talk to them. And don't forget to pick up that wonderful, I think it's rose, right? Or carnation. So you are now dismissed. Thank you.